Welcome to the Tom Starr Podcast. Throughout this podcast, I'm going to be sharing with you some real life experiences I've picked up through my career in the industry, sharing with you some lessons that I've learned, and hopefully give you some valuable insights on how you can progress your health, fitness, and career. What's up, guys? So thank you for tuning in firstly, and today I'm going to go through what I call the ultimate training guide. So for anyone that is a little bit lost with the training, not quite sure how to structure their own training regime, not knowing the right intensities, the right rep ranges, or you know, certain pillars within training to, you know, maximize your personal goals, what you're specifically wanting to achieve out of your you know, training principles, then this training is going to really upskill you to basically be able to plan out your own training programs in the most efficient way to get the best possible results. So please do listen in to every point. There's going to be quite a lot that I'm going to go through today. But if you are interested in training and you are interested in building your knowledge around your own personal training, this is going to be super, super useful for you guys. So let's get stuck into it. So, you know, firstly, we get a lot of clients that come to us in my private studio that are lost with the training. You know, they're not sure how to structure it. They're not sure what exactly to do, what exercises are going to benefit them the most, how to perform those exercises in the most efficient way. And we get, you know, a lot of people that do come to us because of those reasons. So we like to take all the stress away from our clients because we can program our training programming throughout the week in the studio, so clients don't really need to think about it. So if you're wanting to learn a little bit more about this, then this is definitely for you. So the purpose of this is to basically give you a guide so that you can, you know, train effectively and with confidence as well. Really important to do the both. So you'll gain an understanding of your program, how to execute your program, the barriers that can come in your way with your program. You'll also be able to optimize your current training and take it to a completely new level. So by fine-tuning your training, you'll be able to push to new intensities, burst through any plateaus, and be able to train to a much higher standard overall. And you will also be able to maximize your results from the training, not just now, but for years and years to come. So we're going to cover some strategies such as your performance pillars, training standards, and ways in which you can maximize the results of training so that you can see bigger changes. So firstly, we're going to come across a lot of problems that certain people can basically come across within their own training routine. So, you know, me and my team have helped a lot of individuals over the years, and we've distilled these down to certain problems in a certain few areas, basically. So number one is most people are just uncertain around their rate of progress. So this leaves them, you know, second guessing themselves, uncertain about whether their protocol is effective or not. They're stuck at the same weight for years, left wondering how to progress it, and this doubt can then lead them astray, wanting to try other things, and they never get the chance to actually see a change because they're always jumping from one training plan to another. And guys, you have to ask yourself, how are you training? If you repeat it every month of the year, will it get you into the best shape of your life? You will either be able to say, yes, it will, I'm seeing changes, or no, and you're unsure. Number two is a lot of people aren't sure on how to progress their strength. So to elicit a new response and get results from your training, we need to drive strength up. And, you know, certain individuals can be left not knowing how to drive up their load on certain lifts. How can they do this in a safe manner, you know, without injury? Should they even be putting the weight up, or is it more suitable for certain increases in sets and reps to be a better idea? And when is the best time to put the weight up? especially when sometimes, you know, life gets in the way and training days can be a little bit irregular and you're not in a consistent routine. And some people could also have an old injury that they're working around. So you might get some certain like niggles or pains from other lifts. Number three is individuals just aren't maximizing their time in the gym. So anyone can get a training plan off the internet, right? So why is everybody not in incredible shape? You know, there are factors to maximizing your efforts in the gym. And you know, you need to be sure that you're executing the exercises effectively for you, your body type, and the desired result. We also need to make sure that we are fully focused, high intensity, and you're putting your full intent and effort into your training. Because you just have to make sure that your training is designed in a way that gets you the most results in the shortest amount of time, making every single exercise effective for your own personal needs, guys. And number four, a lot of people are just not performing at the level they could be in their training. So everybody listening to this, including myself, has a higher level that they are capable of within their training. And a lot of individuals will just fall into the trap of coasting by simply going through the motions. But we want to train for a result. We're training so that we can forge, you know, the very best version of ourselves by building a strong, fit, robust body that looks incredible as well. So if you're not feeling, you know, the pump from muscles during and after a session, if you're hitting plateaus after the first initial weeks of a plan, if you're finding that your body is fatiguing too quickly, these are all signs that there is room for improvement in your training sessions, guys. And number five, a lot of people can go into their sessions under-recovered, low in energy, and not actually primed to perform at the best standard. So life sometimes will cause you to feel subpar. That's just normal. However, if this is a regular theme, this is down to your own personal management, guys. You see, to maximize our results in the gym, we need to be primed. We need to ensure that we've got the performance pillars all in place. Which is easier said than done, I'm not gonna lie, but by going into, you know, training well-nourished, full of energy, you can see a massive shift in results. So for me personally, guys, I live with a really strict routine that I've built into my schedule that just is automatic now. It's taken me many years to perfect. It's taken me many years to work on and build different habits. But if I didn't live by my routine now, I know that I would be underperforming. I know that I would have lower energy, and I know that I wouldn't be performing at my very best. So I live by these principles. I make it a priority to factor these in at the times that I've set out, at the quantities that I've set out with my food. My sleep time is always on point. My hydration is always on point. And all these things, guys, it might seem overwhelming at the start for some, but you just have to build on these slowly. You have to build these habits within to your life and make sure that you are optimizing them as much as possible. Because I'll tell you from experience, the more optimal you can get these metrics within your life, the better performance you're going to put in to your training. There's no doubt about it. So I just want you to do a bit of reflective thinking now. It's really important to do this sometimes. So I'm going to throw some questions out at you, and I just want you to see what pops into your mind, see what pops into your head, and see if you are struggling with these areas or if you're winning. So I'm going to ask you some things about what you struggle with when it comes to training. So firstly, you know, what training goals do you have in place? You know, can you think of something off the top of your head? Do you have an actual goal that you have in place that you are working towards? Because I ask this because it's very easy to have your plan and just drift through it. You know, guys, you need to be clear on the strength or fitness targets that you have from your plan. So this could come off the tip of your tongue with no thought because you're going into the training with purpose. You need to be clear on your goals, guys. And I also want to ask, where will your training be this time next year? So I want you to visualize, you know, where will your training be this time next year? What will you have achieved? What strength targets will you have achieved? What fitness targets will you have boxed off? What training events will you have completed? How will your body look? I want you to brainstorm this, write it down. You know, don't settle for average either. You know, you need to be clear on certain targets, write down numbers, imagine what you want to be like. Because if you can't do that, you will not have a goal to work towards and you will give up. You will drift, you will plateau, and you'll never really make any significant change if you don't have those targets in mind. So really have a think about those questions, guys, because it's super important for you to think about that. So moving on away from, you know, the problems that people can experience, let's look at some principles that we can build to get better at this stuff, okay? So firstly, building strength is a process you have to understand. So you might ask, you know, what weight do I actually use? And, you know, this can be like a common question that comes up for a lot of people. But ideally, we want to gain an awareness of where our strength is at. So when you begin any plan or any new exercise, we go into it on the side of caution and then we build up. So this could look like where you start off, you know, very light, build up the weight every set as you get heavier. As you progress into your plan, you just want to have a target weight in mind by the end of the phase and week on week to aim to close that gap on the target by progressing with small jumps. So this is called progressive overload, if you haven't heard of it already, guys. Small incremental changes to get you to your goal, not big jumps where you put yourself under risk of injury. Now, this might sound a bit odd, but who here remembers the film Goldilocks? Yeah, so that's how we want to see your loading with your training, basically. We want to get the weight just right, if you remember the Goldilocks story. So if we push too much weight, you could end up injured, compensating with other muscle groups, and also, you know, not having the ability to progress month on month. If we don't have enough weight, then there won't be enough stimulus to create a response. As a result, you'll simply just be moving the weight up and down. In regards to that, it won't be as effective from a calorie expenditure perspective as well. So we want the weight that provides us with a healthy challenge, one that also has room to progress with in the future as we go through the training phase. And that is what we want, guys. We just want the weight to be just right. Not over, not under, but in a challenging way to create a response for the body. And now I want you to imagine a seesaw. So on one side of the seesaw, you've got form and technique, making sure you're effectively executing the exercise. Then on the other side of the seesaw, you've got loading. So this is the weight that you pick for the exercise. In the beginning, you know, we want there to be heavy focus on form, technique, and then light from a weight perspective. But as we gain familiarity by going through the movement pattern, then we want to bring the weight up. So this just makes sure that we're lifting, you know, with great weight, but with great form. It's not an expense of one or the other, it's just the sweet spot. And, you know, guys, sometimes you might find yourself aiming for weight that's just too heavy and slightly sacrificing form, especially if you're pushing up like a new plate on an exercise or something like that where it's a big jump. But, guys, it's important to course correct. You know, take note of when you might do that, drop the weight back down. Don't be afraid to regress the weight if your form dips. You know, we have to earn the right to progress up on weights. And you want to make small jumps on weight, not big jumps, okay? And also, guys, not all strength is the same. So there will be exercises that you will progress fast in and others that will be a little bit slower. So have a think, you know, what exercises progress fast for you? What exercises are slower to progress? So exercises that can be quite fast in progression are things like hip thrusts, leg press, hack squat, deadlifts, seated rows, shrugs and dips. So usually exercises that involve a lot of joints, muscle groups, and there is like a lot of leverage to be used. Whereas exercises that can be a little bit slower to progress are things like lateral raises, reverse grip curls, rear delt raises, skull crushers, overhead presses. Because it's important to understand this, on the exercises that don't progress as fast, just focus on the pump, the focus on the volume. Also, don't judge the quality of your workout simply by just the weight you're lifting. I'll say that again. Don't judge the quality of your workouts simply by just the weight you are lifting. You could be getting, you know, better connection with the muscle. You could be executing the exercise better. The intensity could be better. The overall pace and intensity of the session could have improved as well. So don't focus all your concentration on just the weight. And not every exercise will progress linearly either, guys. You know, with the complexity of, you know, the human body and the mechanics of certain exercises, you'll notice that not every exercise will progress in a linear fashion. For example, on a squat, you may notice that you progress very fast at the start of a phase, but then near the end, you might slow up. You know, you might be really fighting for progression and it might not even come. Whereas on an RDL, for example, you could progress quite well near the end of the phase because the first few weeks, it's about getting your grip familiar, handling the load on your lower back and used to transferring that load through it. And then like a front squat is another one. So usually the first few weeks, it's about nailing the actual movement so that you can feel confident with them progressing it later on. So this is a little bit like chess, guys. It's important to know when to make a move. If you try to progress every single lift all of the time, you could quickly find yourself fatigued and injured. So when you are training, guys, we have to be smart with our progression. Yes, there will be elements of getting uncomfortable, and most individuals will firstly need to get to a place where the intensity is high, and then it's about controlling that intensity, using it when needed and backing off when needed, guys. So we can do this by using an RPE scale, a scale of 1 to 10, quite simply. So who listening to this goes to their training session, they try to lift the same weight and it just seems harder than potentially before? There are going to be days where this can happen, guys. It could be down to a multitude of factors. For example, your sleep, your energy, your fatigue levels, your sugar levels, the time you've eaten, and basically your overall mindset as well on that day or in that time. It's also important for us to, you know, get an awareness of intensity. So using the RPE scale, which means rate of perceived exertion, how hard you're actually working, we can use this to gauge your intensity, the loading, and to manage overall recovery abilities. So in the training cycle of a year, there will be times where you will actively want to train, but not at a 9 out of 10 RPE. And this might be a good idea sometimes, guys, because if you're training, for example, at lunchtime and straight after lunch, you're presenting a big conference to 100 people. You know, we'd encourage you to, you know, when looking in your training principles, to just note down the RPE of each exercise and also note down how the overall session felt at the end as well. Because if you have got things going on in your life, some sessions you might not want to go absolutely all in, and then there might be times where you have a bit more freedom, a bit more time, and then you will want to go all in. So using that RPE scale can be really handy. So we also have to look at success criteria, guys. So as mentioned before, you know, building in in the incredible body is one main part of the overall success criteria here. And, you know, I believe with progression in your training that it will help other areas of your life as well. We also need to look at our strength standards. So, for example, in our 90-day success program that we run in the studio, we are designing everything to get our clients into the best shape of their life, gain mastery over their body, and achieve performance metrics that they never thought they could do. You know, we set our clients up for life. And a few metrics that, you know, we have personally outlined, certain people may be way off, or, you know, they might be absolutely nailing these. So I'm going to give you a bit of a breakdown of these. So the ability to do these certain metrics is a outcome that shows that you are in, you know, really good performance levels. So this could be 15 unweighted bodyweight chin-ups. It could be 10 plus reps of your bodyweight on bench press. It could be 2 times your bodyweight for deadlift for 2 to 5 reps. It could be 1.5 times bodyweight on squat for a certain amount of reps. It could be 4 minutes to complete a 1 kilometer run. It could be 25 minutes to complete a 5 kilometer run. So you can, you know, jig these around a little bit if you like, but if you are hitting the majority of these, then it shows that you are in pretty decent condition, guys, in a strength capacity, in a fitness capacity, and in an overall functional capacity as well. So we're going to go into how we can get the most out of your training program now, guys. So we've covered a lot of stuff already, but let's go a little bit deeper. So first we want to have a goal of the exercise. So when we are training, there is always a specific outcome from every exercise that we're wanting to achieve. We don't just play mix and match with our exercises. We have to understand certain muscle groups can only take so much loading. And other exercises will prime you so that you can lift more in your main lifts. Because everything we do has a reasoning in mind, which is why it is vital that you, you know, learn about this stuff, get an understanding about what you're doing. And the more you learn about everything, the more you'll be able to gain in the long run if you are interested about this stuff, which hopefully if you've been listening to this podcast so far, you are in some way. So our goal here is so that you can, you know, go through multiple different training phases, put yourself through everything practically and achieve, you know, epic results, but also understand why you're doing it, what you're doing. And this just gives you a high level of independence with your training, guys, okay? And this takes 12 months minimum to achieve. And there's elements, you know, guys, that I'm still learning to this day. It's an evolving thing all the time. You also have to have a goal of the session. So when me and my team write out training plans, we have clear outcomes that we want to achieve from it. So there may be a day where we focus on certain muscle groups, a certain movement, an attribute like strength, fitness, muscle building, hypertrophy. These focuses, you know, can change sometimes, but you need to have the goal of the session. You also need to have a goal of the program. So again, these focuses may change, but every kind of 90 days in a mesocycle, we look at the outcome we want to achieve from the program and then work backwards from there. So over a 90-day period, what does your training look like? What do you want to achieve out of it? And then start from the beginning and build those sessions in. And then we need a goal of your actual training. So this is where we always start first. And this is why we want to, you know, me personally and my team, get our clients to understand this in depth. So We like to collect a lot of information at the start. We need to know the purpose of training in our clients' lives, you know, why it's important to them, what they want to get out of it. So this is, you know, things like to be able to operate at the highest level in their work, so they're more productive, have higher energy levels, to build their own personal character, to feel more confident, improve their body image, to showcase it to their children, to, you know, feel more like a role model, they're in better health, better condition for, you know, later in life as well. And you know, guys, each of you and each of our members and, you know, me as well, we all have capacity limits for our training. You know, some people might want to train 5-6 times a week or go through, you know, a season of that. And for others, simply getting in 2-3 sessions a week at home is your amount, and that's okay. However, as a collective, you know, we're all here to forge the very best versions of ourselves, or you should be, which is absolutely incredible. So we need to get the metrics right so that we can create the response that we want out of it. And my next point, guys, is that optimal doesn't always mean it's good for you. So it's important when we are approaching our training, the optimal training in the research on the internet isn't potentially always optimal for you. So there have been, you know, countless times where me and the team have actually done less with individuals. They've completed it, they've gained momentum, and as a result, that's what's optimal for them. Rather than trying to do optimal amounts of training volume not being sustainable for that given individual, so you need to realize what your amounts are and what your limits are. And guys, consistency is key in any training program. That's what we always need first. So if you set yourself a target for 5 sessions a week, but you know it's not realistic and your consistency is going to fall and hinder because of that, then you need to set a realistic target so that consistency can be the main focus. And also, guys, prevention is better than cure. When we design our clients' programs, we're always thinking of prevention. Because, I'll say it again, prevention is better than cure. Think about it. How can you create a strong, robust, injury-free body? So some common aspects of this will be by building a strong core, strong glutes, great movement work, and just a balanced program overall. And this is always at the forefront of me and my team's mind when programming for our clients. And, you know, guys, we can't progress everything at once at a very high level. Like I said earlier, we mentioned that we have to play chess, yeah? So we have to pick the right moves with your training. We won't be able to, you know, progress bench, deadlift, squat, and run a marathon all at the very same time. It's just not sustainable. It's not realistic. And aspects of your training will improve, and then there might be others that, you know, might stagnate over time. The overall baseline of all aspects of your training will improve, though. So it's important to just, you know, recognize that and, you know, manipulate certain aspects of your training at given times throughout your training years so that you can get the best possible response to what you really want to focus on. So I'm going to throw some more questions at you here, which might just make you think a little bit more. So if I asked you to do 10 sets, 10 reps of split squats, what would be hard about that? The volume of split squats of what you're doing would be the aspect that's causing the difficulty, right? So now if I asked you to do split squats every day, what would be hard about that? Well, other than, you know, having absolute nightmares about your split squats every night, the frequency and doing them so consistently would be the challenging aspect of that. Now, if I asked you to do split squats until your legs were shaking, what would be hard about that? It's the intensity. The amount of effort put into the split squats would be the most challenging part here. So when you are taking your training to a new level, maximizing progress, we can use these three training currencies. However, we just can't do all three at the same time. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you here, guys. So it's important to have the correct volume, the correct frequency of training, and hitting certain movements, and to train at the appropriate intensity levels as well. So we layer aspects of this to push for new levels of results with our training, okay? So next up, we need to perform the program. So first up, we need to get the mind to muscle connection and load. So when you're performing your training sessions, especially when the goal is hypertrophy, we want to focus on the mind-muscle connection. So not just moving weight from A to B, we want to gain an internal connection with feeling the muscle under resistance. And by doing this, we will be able to experience more stress on the muscle and achieve better results, guys. Really, really important, that one. We also need to get stable. So in every exercise you do, you always want to think, how can I get stable? So when you're stable, locked with your hips down on a bench or back fully against the pad on a leg press, you're able to produce more force, allowing you to be stronger. And this will also help from injury prevention aspects as well, guys. Next is bracing. So one internal way of doing this is just bracing the body. So bracing is something that we want to do on main compound lifts and most lifts in general, to be honest. So things like squatting and deadlifting. Tensing your core, engaging the center of the body to be able to brace, feel connection, and just get that solidity within your body. And next we've got qualitative and quantitative data. So when training, we need to let ourselves know how the session felt, you know, where you're feeling certain exercises, and take these qualitative aspects into consideration rather than solely looking at the session quantitatively, okay? So another question for you guys. What's the difference between singing in the shower versus singing in the spotlight? So when you're singing in the spotlight, how would you approach that? And then when you're singing in the shower, how would you approach that? So when you're in the shower, you'd be chilled out, you wouldn't really care, do your own thing. Whereas if you're in the spotlight, you'd make sure you perform. You'd have pressure, right? You'd prepare and think about all the details, and as a result, the singing would probably be better, right? It'd be polished, it'd be presented, and a higher level of effort. So I want you to think about that when you're training. Imagine that someone's watching you, someone's standing over you. You know, you have a coach that's hovering right next to you. You know, your own personal coach. So here you could be taking videos of your training. You know, get yourself in the spotlight and just aim to have a higher level of accountability and attention to detail with what you're actually doing. Don't just drift by and go through the motions. So now, guys, we're going to move on to what I've mentioned before and the performance pillars. So if you've not heard of this before, we're going to go through five performance pillars so that you can get the most out of your training and perform at the very best possible level. So first up, we've got environment. So are you training in the best environment? Are you surrounding yourself with others in the community to push your training to a new level? Do you have motivating music on the way to the gym whilst you're in there to get yourself pumped up? Are you managing your own environment for optimal performance, guys? So number one, environment. Number two, headspace. Are you focused during your session? Are you focused on the targets you need to hit in those sessions? Are you leaving the outside world out of your session and giving yourself that hour? Are you managing stress effectively? You know, is there anything you could be doing to manage that better? Are you giving it your all? So number two, headspace. And number three, recovery. So are you focusing on getting 7 to 9 hours quality sleep? Are you ensuring you're getting quality sleep by managing the sleep environment and routines that you're currently doing? Are you doing any movement work? Have you got downtime planned in your week to relax, recover? Are you taking adequate rest periods or doing any self-care for yourself? It's number three, recovery. Number four, hydration. Quite simply, are you drinking adequate levels of water? Are you drinking water ahead and in between your sessions? Number five, lastly, is nutrition. So are you hitting your protein target? Are you eating at set times to maximize performance? Are you having high quality nutrients? Are you having 5 to 10 fruits, vegetables per day? Are you hitting your calorie target? Really important, guys. Five performance pillars: environment, headspace, recovery, hydration, and nutrition. So next we're going to go into a bit of like mindset, guys. So this can be a hindrance for a lot of people. And we're going to talk about beliefs and behaviors around training. So one thing a lot of people can say is, I can't do that. And you know, each of us will have limiting beliefs around our training. One that can occur is that you just talk to yourself out of something before you even try it. You know, we have to look at, you know, have you tried that before? And each and every individual that has achieved big things, you know, has gone through this potentially. Some people say, I won't be able to recover from that. So this might come up when you're pushing into new levels of your training. And if you do feel this, just ask yourself, how can I maximize my performance pillars to get on top of this? And then there's gaining strength and losing body fat. So with a lot of our members, you will see that everyone will gain strength whilst losing body fat. Unless you're an elite level bodybuilder, in the final few weeks you will be able to gain strength. But we may need to manage recovery and fatigue to ensure that strength doesn't drop. But this will be short term rather than the whole kind of phase. You see, some individuals look at a session that they maybe didn't hit the number because of a, you know, a short term bout of fatigue, which can happen, but you know, that sometimes they sometimes let that define the whole session, and that can be a problem. Some people also say they can't push their strength and endurance gains at the same time. So when you are training and focusing on various areas, you can progress, and there will be trade-offs at certain points as well. But you know, personally, guys, I'd really encourage you to gain experience before you hold yourself back. So unless it's, you know, extreme levels, it will be periodization rather than actual step backs. It's important to recognize that. A lot of people say as well, I won't be able to train that amount of times in the week. So when changing your body, you have to make time for it, quite simply. If you're serious about your own development, you will need to make time for it too. So that may mean that you'll need to say no to a few things. It might mean that you'll need to free up more time. But don't talk yourself out of that before you try to tighten up your time, okay? Everyone listening to this can optimize their time better. Next is behaviors, you know. To kind of round off on this, I wanted to share some principles so that you can gain the most from your training. So book out your training appointments, you know, put them in your diary. Literally know when you're gonna train exactly. You can be adaptable, but don't lose structure. It's okay to slightly adapt your training, but you know, never lose that structure, I would suggest. When life gets very busy, something is better than nothing, guys. Doing even half a session is a forward step. Overloading a fatigue system never ends well, and it's important, you know, when you're sick, when feeling very poorly, to just rest. You're providing stress on the body, and there are, you know, days where you will need to just pull back. And guys, it's you versus you. So lastly, with your training, your goals, it is you versus you. I want you to think, you know, how can you outperform yourself? How can you build such a great body you can't recognize yourself? Because building strength is a process. Not every exercise will progress at the same time, like I say. Understanding your program, you know, to get the most out of it, and everything is done with a result in mind. You've got to manage, you know, your form and pushing your intensity to perform the training to the best of your ability. And, you know, nailing these performance pillars to maximize your training is really going to be crucial, guys. And you've also got to challenge your beliefs and respect your body. So, to summarize all of that, guys, I know there's a lot of stuff that we've kind of gone through there, a lot of stuff to soak in. Again, thank you so much if you've listened this far. So, number one, building strength is a process. It won't be linear. Number two, get the most out of your training by ensuring you're manipulating the program to suit you personally. Number three, put yourself under the spotlight so that you can perform at a higher level every time you step in your training. Number four, maximize the five performance pillars so that you can drive new levels of results. And number five, question your beliefs around training. Always look to learn and adapt, guys. It's so, so important. So I hope you've enjoyed my ultimate training guide. Tons of stuff in there that you can go off and implement into your life. And yeah, I'd love to find out what you thought about that. If you found any use out of listening to this, please do leave me a review on my podcast channel. It'll help share this to more and more people so they can upgrade their training and nutrition principles. I'd really appreciate that, guys. And yeah, I'll catch you on the next one. Have a great week. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want to find out more about how to work directly with me, I have various Instagram profiles depending what area you are looking for. We have at TS Personal Training York if you're interested in private or semi-private coaching in my training facility. We have at Tom Starr Coaching if you want to work directly with me through online coaching. And we have at TSPT Academy if you are interested in gaining your PT qualification and becoming a fitness professional. So please feel free to reach out via message or through my email, tom@tspersonaltraining.co.uk.